Amen. That's what's on my heart today.
I'll comment on a couple things.
Thank you, Mike.
You know, we heard that we're baptized into Jesus's death. And, you know, that's a little hard to understand. You know, when I look at the kids on here, by the way, bless your hearts, you kids. May you find God. You know, that's hard to understand. And so I'm going to just try a little bit to explain it. When you're baptized, you go under the water. So when you're under there, you have become one with the water. Okay? And that's the key phrase to think about, become one with. So being baptized into Christ's death means you become one with Jesus. And what that means is no longer is your natural physical life the most important thing to you, but Christ and his kingdom and the spiritual world is number one in your life. And everything revolves around that. Okay, so when it says we're baptized into his death, it means we become one with Jesus. And then I also want to comment on, we heard that they all drank from the same rock, okay? And when you're speaking to people about spiritual things, some of them understand and love it because they're being fed. Other ones are listening to the words, but their mind is thinking, where am I going to go after the meeting? What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear when I go to the whatever? And some of them just don't even understand it, period. They're just, you know, it's foreign to them. In fact, it says that to the natural man, the things of the spirit are foolishness. He doesn't even see them or believe them, you know. And so I just want to tell you a couple little stories about myself. I lived on a little farm most of my life, and we had a big, long driveway leading up to the house, and our mailbox was out there at the road. So when I would come home from work, I would stop my truck and get in the mailbox. And when I got in there and I saw an Omega message, I would just shout, yes! I don't know if all of you remember the Omega messages, but it was a little pamphlet put out by Sess, and a lot of other spiritual brethren contributed to it also. And I would be so happy that Omega message only came out once a month. Boy, I'd grab that thing and I would read that thing from cover to cover, man. I just loved it. And one time some Christian friends gave me a subscription to this little magazine that they thought highly of. It was called Quit Ye Like Men. And I would read that thing, and it was good, but it did nothing for me spiritually. And they asked me one time, what'd you think of that Quit Ye Like Men? And I had to say to them, man, I'm sorry, but it just has no spiritual value. And some of you probably remember the cartoon Popeye. Maybe it's still being broadcast. I don't know. But something bad would happen, and Popeye would open this can of spinach and eat it. And then his arm would go up like this, and boom, his muscle would bump up, you know. And that's what spiritual food does for you. When you're like, I used to listen to dozens of tapes by spiritual brethren. And when that tape ended, I would be like, no, no. It's like it was feeding me. It was giving me life. And all of a sudden, now it was over. And that's the way we need to be about Christ. The spiritual food, it brings you life. You feel it. It's more valuable than eating natural food even. So that's how you can tell when you're becoming one with Christ, is because your spiritual life has come alive and you want spiritual food now. It's like you eat six donuts and it's like blah. But you eat spiritual food and it's like you're lifted up into a higher realm, and that's where we want to be. And I just want to tell everybody, it's so good. I know many of you have experienced it, but some of you haven't. And I just want to tell you, it is so good to come alive spiritually, become one with Christ, and really receive spiritual food. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mike. In the pattern, you find the word that Brother Seth said, and I believe it to be true, that it is only dead men that enter into the holy place. So God was actually giving me a good word. I was understanding carnally when he said, "For you are dead." But he was actually giving me good news. In other words, he was saying to me, "You are qualified to be a holy place person." Amen. Dead. For you are dead. Well, that was good preaching, Mike. Somebody else has a word that they need to bring? How about it, Brother Larry? You going to be quiet today?
What I did there. Well, I wanted to say, and I didn't hit the right button, but when Mike was preaching, I wanted to say amen. Again, one of the few times that I agree with him, but I do today. And what he was talking about really scripturally is what Paul said in Romans chapter 6. In essence, what he was saying is, when Christ died, you died. When Christ was buried, you were buried. And when Christ was resurrected unto new life, so were we resurrected unto new life. So that's the essence of the beginning of Romans 6, what happens to us. And we have to remember, again, what Mike was talking about is that, in reality, although we're walking and living here in a natural world, that's not our life. We are really spiritual beings. And in essence, we should be living and walking and moving in the spirit all the time, because that's who we are. And so our thoughts should be on, heavenly thoughts, like Paul talked about again, that all of our thoughts should not be destructive, should not be negative, should not be fearful, but all of our thoughts should be, well, he said, I think our thoughts should be pure, honest, true, virtuous. If there be any value in these thoughts, that's what we should think upon. So, as spiritual beings, That's where our mind should be. Obviously, we get in and read the word, and that opens us up, to God's life. But even when we're not, in the word, we're going about our daily business. Every morning I'm out in the world, but I have to be mindful of why I'm there and what God is doing. And my real purpose there is not just to go out and, and earn a living, because I really don't need to earn a living now. God's already provided, but it gives me an opportunity to associate and to meet people. And boy, it seems like almost every week I meet someone that God has brought into my life. If I may, as long as nobody is saying too much, I will tell you a story about this week. I think it was on a Thursday. I walked into one of my stores, and as soon as I went in the door, there was a young black girl, probably around 13 years old, and she says, can I have a dollar? And I always, I get this all the time down in the city. So I'm always, first thing I do is always say, why do you want, what are you going to do with the dollar? And she says, I need to buy medicine for my daughter, my sister, my younger sister. I think she was like 4 years old. And I said, well, she says the medicine is $10. I said, well, you only asked for a dollar. So when she said that, I figured it was a good cause. And she was meek, soft-spoken. And I can tell, she had a good spirit, but she wasn't asking for anything for herself. So I went over to the store owner and I said, give me that medicine she wants. He says, well, I don't have the child medicine. All I have is the adult. So I went back to her. I said, why are you in this store? It doesn't have the medicine. She said, well, the way I would go is I would walk a few blocks away to a Family Dollar that has the medicine. So anyway, I made arrangements, after hearing this. I said, I felt like, the right thing to do. Again, thinking, from the mind of Christ, I cannot let this girl go without getting what's needed for her younger sister that's running a high fever. So I said, come on, come with me. And I drove her over there, not realizing that, gee, maybe she was fearful to get in the car with me. But anyway, we went and got that. And then while we were at the store, I said to her, well, now, what about your other necessities? I said, do you need milk? Do you need eggs? In other words, I'm thinking, she must be in need of some things because she just seemed like, she didn't have any money. But when I asked her about milk and eggs, she said, no, I just need to get this to my sister. So I drove her back to where she lived, and it was right around the corner from where the store was. So that was, why she was in that store. And it didn't hit me in the beginning, but now thinking about it is, what she was doing, she didn't have the nerve, or she said it wouldn't be right. That's what she said. When I said, why didn't you ask for $10? She said, no, I couldn't do that. It wouldn't be right. And I'm thinking, she must have been there. She wasn't in school, which she should have been. So she must have stayed out of school and stood by the doorway in that store. And she was going to ask for a dollar for 10 people, no matter how long it took, and then walk over to Fairly General, which was a few blocks away, walk back to where we were, where her house was around the corner. And, she was just a sweet girl to sacrifice her time to do that for her sister. And, you know, her name, I asked her name, I asked her about she if she accepted Jesus Christ, and you know, I gave her tracts, but she already told me that she goes to church, and I believe she's certainly saved. But her name is Brooklyn, you know, and you know, ever since then, she's been on my heart, you know, to pray for her. And I believe that, you know, we again, the world, if you're thinking in natural terms, the world believes when strange things happen to you, well, it's just odd, or it's, oh, you know, some kind of a coincidence. But, you know, in the spiritual world, you know, in the world we live in as Christians, there's no such thing as coincidences. You know, they're what they call one of my brothers in the fellowship says the God coincidences. So everything that happens to us is not just per chance. It's God that is arranging things in our life. And I know that this, you know, this meeting with her has put her in my mind, on my heart, to continue praying for her and her family. And I believe that I'm gonna see her again, and in fact, I might even try to seek her out because I think her family is in need. And you know, God has blessed me that I can meet those needs. And I believe that's what the Lord would want me to do. But what I'm saying that for is, you know, not to make myself look, try to make myself look good, because you all know I'm not that good, okay? And if you don't believe me, my wife will tell you. But anyway, you know, in the natural, I wouldn't have done that. But I don't live in the natural. You don't live in the natural. You have to be ready for the Spirit of God to move upon you, you know, anytime, any day in your life, for to have these encounters. You know, what people would call strange encounters. They're not strange encounters. It's the God encounters. It's what God is doing in our life and preparing us and seeing how we're going to react to these godly incidences in our life. So, well, like I said, Mark, I didn't have that much to say, but the Lord is good. Anyway, God bless you all, my
Amen.
brothers and sisters.
God bless you. I have a little comment on what Bro Larry I just said. You know, something really spoke to my heart when he said that he inquired of the girl if she needed some more help, but her answer was stunning. Somebody that was in need. All that she asked for was $1, and he was ready to give her more than that. But the girl said that wouldn't be right. Think that was a life of contentment, a life of virtue that the little girl exhibited. It spoke so much to my heart, and I pray that I can also do that. You know what money is? The scripture says that money answereth all things. So when the girl who needed $1 was to be given more than that, doesn't that say that she could solve more things? Actually, she was in need, but she said no. That wasn't right, because she was there for a purpose, and she didn't want to make profit out of it. That was uprightness, a life that actually fears God. And it touched me. It touched me. And I want to thank Bro Larry for that. For me, it is a testimony. It's an added message that little girl's response, you know, has given. Thank you, brethren. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you.
So getting back to the children of Israel, God made them one people, one body, and they drank, all of them, the same drink. And they ate, all of them, the same food. Now this was supposed to be a type of the body of Christ. How does the body of Christ measure up today? Are we, as the body, are we eating the same food? Are we drinking the same water? Probably not, because we are drinking from many cisterns, eating many, many different messages. I don't know how is Jesus going to make us one. The only way I can see is that it's going to have to be through tribulation. I don't like to say that, but I don't see any other answer. I saw you shaking your head, Larry. What did you mean?
No, I'm... When you say I'm shaking my, I'm not disagreeing with you. You know, I agree that when you look at Christendom as a whole, what's being taught in the churches, you know, this, for the most part, it's this feel good experience, you know, that our loving God, which he is, you know, just wants us to prosper and have everything in life. But it's, you know, it's not in agreement with what the word says, you know. But most people, that's what they want. And, you know, again, we're talking about the outer court church, which is in jeopardy because, you know, it says in Revelation, when the hard times come, you know, God is saying, you know, don't measure the outer court. It's been given to be trodden underfoot by the Gentiles. And you know, so it's a dangerous place to be. And not only that, but why would you want to, you know, if you really love the Lord, why would you want to hang around by that door, that close to the world? In other words, you know, it's a dangerous place where, you know, you could be influenced by, you're so close to the world, you could be influenced by the world and fall back into worldly ways. And I know most people will say you can't lose your salvation, but, you know, I don't believe that. I believe that if you don't come into a further place in Christ, you know, in John chapter 10, where it talks about the vine and the branches, you know, it says, Jesus said that any branch in me that does not bear fruit, he cuts off. And, you know, you really look at that. And, you know, when I seen that, that says to me that that branch had to be into the vine at one point. But because there was no fruit, you know, never grew beyond just coming into the vine, that it was cut off. So again, why hang around by the, you know, outer court, so close to the world? So it's dangerous, not only because what's coming in the end times that we're living in, but also that you can fall away so easily if you don't get in to a deeper place. You know, it's the kingdom of God isn't the outer court. It's the holy place and the most holy place. So we want to reside in the kingdom of God and not in the outer court. So anyway, what you were saying, Mark, yes, too many people are having what's called, you know, a feel-good salvation. And that's dangerous because there will be times when that's going to end. That's going to come to an end. Like you say, God's going to have to end that in order for people to get right with him. And hopefully, you know, people will not have to suffer loss of salvation. Amen.
Yes, that whole 18th chapter of Revelation, one of the portions of that is the economic crash. And that it's aimed, that whole thing, at luxury living, living in luxury, prosperity. That whole thing is coming crashing down. So if that's your message, if that's your doctrine, it's going to fail.
I just have one little quick, tiny something to say. When Larry was talking, I remembered something that I heard a woman say one time. She said, every minute we're either getting closer or further away from God.
Yes, it's a process, right? It's an everyday thing. It's a process of growing in the Lord.
Yes, amen. Anyone else have a word to share? Anyone else? Going once? Going twice? Okay, I'm going to shut the recording off, but you can still speak.